Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Episode 13. Got it right.
Lucky number 13. You finally got it right.
Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and please leave a review.
Indeed. And, you know, always love to see the comments. You know, we always say that we read all the comments. We actually go through and read almost everyone that we can. Okay, we read everyone we can, including this one from Gail Jordan from last week, who said, "Guys, we are watching a show. We don't know about things like bad breath, bad pH, bad BO, which Justin tried to allude to in the Where Are They Now that Alexis had." Remember that from season 15, San Diego, right? Said, "If the person's trying to be respectful by not disclosing it, I give them kudos." Now, I'm assuming she's talking about Eris and Jasmine and the whole things, the discussion we had last week about Eris and, you know, his behavior. And another thing that Gail also said is, "Also, what this show has taught me is that we stereotypically paint black families as broken, but there are a whole lot of broken white families. When we compare the parents of these people, you actually don't have any more great examples of the white couple's parents compared to the black parents." There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. I mean, we've heard about Gina's parents, Nicole's parents.
Yeah, Chris. They're pretty white, yeah.
Yeah, and then Clint seems like his parents were... I haven't heard a lot of like drama from his childhood,
right?
That his parents inflicted on him. So, you know, there could be a point to what she's saying.
There could be a point. Dallas Boss says excellent point. But you know, the thing about it, I hate when we group everything and say like we no, cause we ain't do none of that. We ain't stereotypically did nothing. if you want to blame the media, you say the media. You get all Trump on us and you tell us it's the media. The media said. But I do agree. We don't know about certain, because you can't tell on TV about bad breath, bad. I'm the first person to tell you, bad breath, automatic turnoff, right? You know, halitosis is hella no. Okay, so I'm with you on that, Gail. So, you know, we can agree on some things and agree to disagree on other things, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it. Bad BO, bad breath, bad pH. yeah, seen them all.
Exactly. Look, so I'm glad you picked up your glass because Adrian says no drink tonight.
Of course. It's just not whiskey.
So what you got over there tonight?
This is just Svedka and a splash of water.
Cheers, brother.
No, you got the same?
The exact same thing. No water, just a giant cube.
Yeah, so I just put a little splash, just a little...
Yeah, there's no need to dilute this, you know, let the alcohol do its job and melt that ice anyway. So another comment that came up before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to go through this one real quick because it's from Nene B, right? And she said, "Terrell, directly at you. So I want you to pay attention here, okay? Terrell, I would legit pay for a Patreon to see y'all review the season with Brandon and Taylor," and in quotations, but "and Taylor's wig." And I'll be honest, Taylor's wig was bad that season. And I was trying to make sure I had it correct because, I asked her, "Is that from the DC season?" And she said, "At Yanni Rude, yes, that's the season. LOL, please review past seasons. Here, just take my money. I need to hear Terrell's thoughts on Brandon and Taylor, as well as lying jobless Michael and Virgin Mary Iris. Y'all owe us from Chris and Paige."
I only went backwards one time, and that's because we're going to interview Chris in person.
And you barely went back. You just went back to the reunion. That's it.
No, I watched through a few, and then I just skipped ahead and just went to the reunion. Because I'm like, I can't just go through all this. Let me just see. Because the reunion, they show clips of the stuff, and I was like, ooh, he said that. Crazy. But I don't think I have it in me to go that far back and watch some of these old seasons. Because all these that we're doing, this is painful. It's painful for me.
Okay, she put a solution here, a Patreon, right? So it's going behind a paid wall to do this. Is there an interest? Because then if there is an interest, we'll go ahead and do it. And I will go ahead and fight Terrell off camera just so that you can... So we can get him to do it. We can start from season one, and we'll just go through and do those. You see the evolution of the show over the time. It was a very different show back then. But you guys let us know. Is there interest in it? If so, we'll go ahead. We'll put up a Patreon, and we'll do it, and we'll review some of those old seasons. All right?
All right. We shall see.
All right, let's get to this week's episode. You know we got to get to Shaquille and Kirsten, Buy Me a House Kirsten. We got to get to Eris and Jasmine, Clint and Gina, but let's go ahead. Let's start this all off with one couple that we believe is going to make it through this whole thing, Chris and Nicole.
What's that meme that goes around? Emotional damage. So I still think they're going to make it because of all the bonding they've had from some of their past.
Trauma bonding, yes.
Yeah, all the trauma bonding they've done. And so when Nicole was sharing about her childhood and how she was trying to, like, please everybody, I was like, is anyone surprised that she was trying to please everyone when she was younger? And
yeah,
I'm going to skip school because they said to do it so she could, you know, fit in.
From what we've learned from her, no, that was definitely not a surprise. She's told us she did it in relationships. Yeah. So you assume that came from somewhere, right?
Yeah, they are. But like every episode, it's just more and more baggage that she has.
Yeah.
And she hasn't let go a lot of that past heartache. And so if I'm Chris, that would just feel draining to me after a while. I need to hear some positives. I need to hear that you're a little bit confident today. Give me a day where you're just like, hey, everything is good and I'm happy. Compared to, oh, you see that Wendy's over there? That's when he did this to me. And, oh, you see this?
Come on. Stop acting like they have no positive. She's very positive.
They don't. I mean, if you take out all their emotional damage, what do they have?
Sex. They were the first couple to do it.
Who cries first afterwards? Do you think it's Nicole or do you think it's Chris?
Great question. Great question.
That thing you did with your finger, my ex, and she really hurt me.
Melissa said, Chris is starting to look dead inside. Maybe it's because, like you said, because she keeps bringing up all this other stuff, right? The thing about it, they go to Little Italy. With this couple, they didn't really have homes to go back to, right? So they go to Little Italy and Nashville because that's the closest to what she's accustomed to, the delis and the bodegas that she grew up around. So they go there. For Chris, they go to a paint store because it reminds him of his childhood and his dad. Chris has got his own trauma that he's revealing in this week's episode, too, talking about, you know, his dad was not the best role model growing up, and it kind of showed him the type of man that he did not want to be. So, again, this same kind of... I'm glad this wasn't the black family saying this one, but, you know, it was good. It was good to see him sharing his stuff, which he's done quite a bit as well. They're both very sherry people.
They are. And, you know, I think it's great that he shared that. But what I find interesting about a lot of these couples that have this negative family history, like, have they ever dealt with it, talked about it, got through it? You know, I just find that that they're still thinking about some of these things that happened to them when they were kids with their parents, that it mainly because parents divorced or whatever. I'm just like, when have y'all ever dealt with that? Have you just like talked to your parents, said it and got it off your chest? And now y'all can just move forward from there and stop letting this be the crutch.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. You know, even Dallas Boss says Nicole sounds like a PBS after school special, you know, and I know that's funny, but let's not laugh at her pain.
Give it to Dallas Boss every week comes through with a gym.
You know, Kara does say, you know, despite the trauma bonding, they seem to have shared interests. This is why I think everybody has seen them as the couple that will make it from this season, is because they seem to be on the same page. And again, it's not like, even though it does, I will be honest, as Melissa said earlier, Chris is starting to look dead inside. Chris seems to tune out whenever Nicole starts talking about her past. Like, he doesn't want to hear about her past, but he'll end up sharing about his, you know? So maybe it is, I don't know.
But it's just so much of her past that it's just, that has to be, I feel like Nicole would be really draining to be around a whole lot. I just feel like she'd just be a bit pineapples. I just have to say it. Hey, I know this
Good
movie
morning,
triggers
pineapples.
You about something. Pineapples right now. I need you to hold it.
You know, it's good to see you and High Vibe back on the same page, because she says, I want to see them crack jokes. Their scenes are like therapy sessions.
Well, they did crack some jokes when they started painting, and they were trying to do the Italian voices mm-hmm. and all that. That looked fun for mm-hmm. them, you know, I'm watching it, and all I can see is the dogs on the bed in the background. I'm like, I bet Yanni's just
yes!
itching.
Thank you. Because I'm like, I couldn't even concentrate on that. All I see is these two dogs just rolling around in the bed, wiping
on the
their
pillows.
Ass on the pillows, on the comforter. I think they even pull the sheet back and scrub their ass on the bed just a little bit, and then put the sheets back on. Oh my God, that hurt me so bad. Thank God I didn't have my drink in my hand. I might have thrown it at my TV. Get off the bed, you little bastards.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, yeah, Yanni's going to lose his shit on that one. But mm-hmm. so at least they had a cute little couples, you know, night in on a Saturday night. So yeah. I was good with that.
Yeah, it really. Look, see, Christelle said, them dogs are wild. Training, please.
I don't think there's any training for those. I just think that's what they've just embraced. This is how they live.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing they also need help with is their French accents, because they're constantly going to Italian accents. I don't know what happened here. They're like,
I was listening. I'm like, what accent are y'all doing? I don't get it.
I was yelling at the TV, pineapples for both of y'all. Pineapples, grapefruits, apples, oranges, something. Stop.
I think Chris has said pineapple so much that he even painted it. He's like, see? Pineapples.
Oh, that is hilarious. You know, I do want to point this out before we move on to Shaquille and Kirsten, because we got to get to them, Jasmine and Eris, and of course our next couple. That Kidi says, let's all hit the like button, please. Yes, please. We got a number of people in the live stream. Make sure you hit the like button. And so, you know, let's get this up. Appreciate it. Thank you, Kidi.
Thank you, Kidi.
So let's get to our next couple, our favorite ginger couple, Clinton Hank. And oh yeah, I guess Gina too. Look, first thing I thought, of course Clinton Gina went to the soccer field for Clint, because Gina's such an athlete, so she felt right at home.
See, that's that bullshit right there. That bullshit. Okay, so to me this couple is boring, because I think we all know it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, so it's just kind of a waste of show to see them.
Yeah.
But I'll take it seriously. So they have the assignment where they got to open up more and all mm-hmm. that. So he takes her to the soccer field. And I liked his story about how he was this awkward kid and he was jealous of the people who were just naturally athletic. And I think all of us who were not naturally athletic felt that you got to work hard mm-hmm. to just be average, where some people they're just gifted. But that's where he got a lot of his drive from. When you think about how successful he's been with his career and kind of what moves him and what motivates him, I thought it was great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Dallas Ball says they're just playing nice, which, of course, we know. Kendra says elliptical athlete, that's Gina. She's a soccer pro.
Mean.
Yo, the crazy thing about it is I look at that, I'm like, cool. But then you see they get to her background, and everything dealing with Gina is this damn
yes.
salon.
Yes.
From her background, which is, well, you know, when I went to hair school, and then they had the friends over, and, you know, of course I got to bring all my girls from the salon. Like, Gina, there's life outside of the salon. Step outside the door. Nashville right. is there. And apparently there are a lot of things to do in Nashville.
Yes. I made that exact same note, that her life revolves around hair. Like, she didn't have anything else to show Clint.
No.
And he's been asking that he wants to know the crust mm-hmm. of her and all that stuff, which I don't know if he really wants to see the crust, but he wants to. But she's not giving up anything except, and to me, this is like a commercial. Her whole, every time she's on, it's a commercial for her hair salon.
Yep.
That's really all it is. I eat, breathe, and sleep hair. I love doing hair. I work really hard. I work all the time on hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got five awesome friends that come over. They do hair with me. And yeah. they tell me how awesome I am so I can keep doing hair. Come over to my shop.
As you see, if you're watching on YouTube, you see all these comments in the live chat about the salon, because everything, even Dina says Gina has sniffed too much peroxide in that salon. But there's so many comments about that, because everybody's talking about hair in this damn salon. Everything. Like Kara says, it's a commercial because it's not gonna. We know the relationship's not gonna last. Yes. Yo, Marcy says Gina's in witness protection. Her past life is dead. Her life started in hair school.
And I gotta show this one because I brought this up before. You know, was it K. Kevin? I don't have my glasses on. Mm-hmm. Says, as Terrell said, the barber, his Lena. Barber has his own shop and nobody looks at him as a business genius. And I'm not saying she's not smart or she doesn't have a successful shop,
yeah.
but let's calm it down, you know, on all this stuff about her and her business. You have a salon, you got five ladies that are doing hair, you know, great.
Oh, like No Channel says, Gina forcing friends out of employees.
And you, you're gonna love me.
You're gonna be my friend if you want to.
Yeah.
You want to keep your chair?
Yeah. You want to work here? We gotta be besties. Pinky swear.
One bright chick says, you know, this entire experience for Gina was to promote her business, and we've said that over and over again. And you know what? Kendra has a great idea, but I don't know that we'd make it to the live, especially if you do whiskey. She says, when you hear her say salon, take a shot. When she makes any reference to the salon or doing hair, yeah, you take a shot. Man, we would have never made it. Yeah, just like Chaka Suda said, we'd be drunk.
Yeah, we'd be on here hammered, and some of y'all have seen me hammered on camera. It's not yes, pretty.
It's not pretty. We don't want that. That's it. I start waving the flag.
Yeah.
Land the plane. Let's get out of here quickly. Jesus. Still got a job to protect. Look, coming up, we still got to talk about Shaquille and Kirsten. But we got to get to this next couple, Eris and Jasmine. Our favorite opposite sides of the bed, build a pillow fort. No, we're just sitting in the bed right now, but we're actually sleeping in separate rooms. Couple. Because that's what it looks like they're doing.
Yeah, I've been saying this, and everyone else has been saying too, Jasmine just needs to call it. Mm-hmm. Call it quits and just be like, hey, this is, let's just end it. It's not going to go anywhere. When she was talking to her friend about he needs to do more work, mm-hmm. you know, on himself, or he needs to open up more and all this other stuff. I'm like, he's not. And it doesn't, even if he does, it's not going to change anything.
Right.
And then when they do get to talking, and Eris was talking about, you know, moving around is what makes him not stay grounded. As a military kid, I just can't relate
at all
to that. I'm like, so moving around is why you're an ass?
That's an excuse, right? You know, there's so many excuses that you can use in life if you want to use one. And as we can say this as men. Men will find the reason for the excuse to use it as one, right? And say, well, this is why this. Just because it sounds good to us in that moment, right? And that's what Eris is doing. Because, let's be honest, that's a bullshit excuse. You're a military brat. I was a semi-military brat. So, to me, it was exciting going to new places, meeting new people. I'm not a people person. I'm the first to tell you that.
What?
And it was still exciting. Shut up. And it was still exciting. And even now, you know, even through the career moving and being in radio, having moved in different cities, I had somebody ask me once, I think it was when I went to Detroit, was like, hey, what's it like? Because he had spent his entire career in that one market. Mm-hmm. He's like, what's it like going to different places? And I'm like, well, people are the same no matter where you go. You just got to figure out who's playing what role, right? Eris is playing the same role he's always been playing.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't changed.
Yeah,
he hasn't changed. Now, I will give Eris credit that the letter he wrote to his young self, I thought was good. Mm-hmm. As much as we beat him up, I was like, you know, good job, you know, on that.
Yo, you know, so Karen says he needs therapy. He has daddy issues. And Marcy said, how many sob stories does Eris have? How did he get on the show? He needs therapy, not a wife, right? And I even saw this one here where Mona says, Eris deserves an Oscar for his performance tonight. Here's what I noticed about Eris last episode and this episode. Is like he went, ah, crap, I need to fix my image on the show. I'm probably coming off as an asshole. Let me, I am going to open up and I'm going to share a lot more. And I'm in my hopes that she will share more. Are you buying it?
I'm not buying it, but I'll also say Jasmine's not really sharing much either. But also, I think she's over it. And she's just like, what's the point in really getting too close? Mm-hmm. So when they got into the bed and he was reading her the letter from his dad to his mom, which when he said that this was before you were born, he said 89. I'm like, shit, I'm old. God, I don't know anyone else in the comments, but I felt old as shit. He said, this is before you're born. This is 89. She's like, oh, I wasn't even born yet. I'm like, what have I been doing with my life? But I thought it was a great thing that he shared. Uh-huh. I think he was using that as a way to help her open up. And then he ruins it by saying his son will get all the girls because he's going to look just like me. I was like, why? Why'd you have to add that?
So daddy was an arrogant bastard too, huh? That's what I got out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Adrian says, nope. 93. Do you feel older now?
I was graduating high school in 93, so yes.
Yeah, Kitty says it just hurt my feelings when she said 89. High Vibe said, yep, that 89 comment is different.
It does. It does. You got people we got people right now when they have to enter their year. You know, we got to scroll all the way back to the 70s. They're just like, got to scroll a little bit.
It shows up
80s, 70s.
Keep scrolling. Yo, you know, the funny thing about, and I say the funny thing just because it really wasn't funny when you think about it. It's kind of sad when you hear Jasmine's letter to her younger self, right? To her 9-year-old self. But I'll be honest with you. Until she gave the explanation of everything that happened since she was 9, when she first moved to Memphis and going to high school, which I know, and we'll get to that because I know you can relate to it. I can relate to that at points too. I really thought it sounded like a letter to Eris, especially the parts where she goes, there'll be people who don't value your presence or your self-worth. Don't let their actions affect your outlook on life and the person you are. And I went, Eris?
I think she was writing to her younger self on Tuesday.
Yeah,
a day ago. She's writing that to herself a day ago.
Yo, that I was like, that is crazy. And then she went to this explanation of what happened when she moved to Memphis and how people gave her a hard time for her proper speech. And I know you've gone through that growing up. I went through that growing up. You're speaking white, right? You know, and all that stuff. And I think that was the issue she had growing up. And that's what she spoke about when she moved to, was it Memphis, she said? Yeah, they moved.
Yeah.
To, yeah.
Yeah. And so I moved to Memphis, and I wasn't a kid. I was like, I was like 30.
You're
31.
Like 9 times how much?
It's like 30. Yeah. Like 30, 31.
Not even 9. Plus, 9 times.
But I experienced that. And I remember growing up in the South, I was, you know, I experienced racism, but it was always from like white people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I got to Memphis where black people hated me because, oh, you went to college or you this, you that.
Negro. You think
you're better than me? You know, and I was a manager at Applebee's. And so, like, I'm walking around with the shirt and tie on. Oh, you just think you better than me. And I'm like, hey, it's not my fault. You have 2 jobs and 3 kids and you're cooking riblets.
That's why.
That's not my fault. You chose. I chose my life. You chose yours. But don't get mad at me. You know, but I had dealt with that. But I mean, you get over it and you move on. And this was me in my early 30s. This is happening.
Yes.
She was dealing with this in high school and still bothered by it. You know, it's just interesting just how some people handle stuff well, some people don't. But whatever, you know, but I've heard that my whole life. Well, you sound, and I'm like, well, what is sounding black then? Tell me what that is. But you know, and the one I hate, especially now, is, you know, you just don't have swag. I'm like, kiss my ass with that swag shit.
Kiss my swaggy ass.
Yeah, swag don't pay my mortgage. Talking like this, helps me pay my mortgage. So,
yeah, Naomi says, but her speech is not all that proper. Naomi, go to Memphis.
True.
It is.
True. Facts.
Katie says, all up in the ass, Negro. Hey, Marcy says, I don't talk white, I talk right.
Yeah. Hell even, yes.
Even High Vibes and Tell said, make better life choices. See, that's you.
That's what it boils down to. You play the cards.
Yeah.
You were dealt. I'm doing mine. Make something out of it. You know, get a royal flush. I figured out a way to get a full house. You can do something.
Yep, there you go. So, Eris, again, and this is where I think people are coming through this whole point of him winning the Oscar for his performance tonight, is where he goes, you know, well, I'm going to take the lead on being vulnerable. Like, come on, bro. Seriously. Now, look, our final couple, right? Who is obviously Shaquille and Kirsten. He goes to check out what she does for a living in selling homes, and that $2.9 million home they went to go look at. Listen, them talking about all the kids running around the house and all the neighborhood kids being in the house, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty, you know, that's a reach for where they are right now. And then Shaq says, you know, whether it's this year, and Kirsten's face was like, this year?
Yeah. So you got my text. I can't stand Kirsten.
Yes.
And
we know.
All this.
show us where the Kirsten touched you.
No, this, she reminds me of someone from my past. Let's just say that. You like how I said from my past? I didn't call it anyone else. I just said my past. So whatever. But she reminds me of somebody that I don't care for.
Please, don't you start that shit.
I don't start anything. I'm just saying. But what I didn't like about that, it was great. She's trying to show him her world. But she's saying, well, you know, you got to buy us a house and then, you know, a nice car. Because if I'm going to be having all these babies, you know, you're going to have to be buying these things. And I was just, that would have turned me off a bit too. Mm-hmm. Now, if she was just joking at that point, you should have said, oh, baby, I'm just playing. We're going to figure out something together. But there really wasn't any together in it. And it was what he is supposed to do. And I was, and then she says, well, I know married couples that their husbands buy them houses and cars. I'm like, okay, but do they work in education at a university? Mm-hmm. Because he's not like the chancellor, you know, right. So I don't know how much he's making, but I mean, he's not making $200,000-$300,000 a year, you know, doing that job.
They kind of covered that a little later in the episode, and we'll get to that later in that conversation about that. I think that's when we realized that he was really talking about the price. But it really, to me, in the beginning, is when she kept saying, no, you buy the house. You buy me a house. You buy me a car. You do this, you do this, you do this. And I'm like, to him, it's like, what happened to us? If it's us, it's supposed to be about us. And if it's one thing, it's like when you were in the club, right? Mm-hmm. And you go up to the bar and there's a woman there and she goes, you gonna buy me a drink? I was, until you said that. You know, let me offer. Let me do this. You know what I mean? Not. And at the same time, though, we're going to go tell women, make sure you lay down what you want. These are her expectations. So is she really wrong, though?
Yes. I think she's wrong. And I'm glad Shaq called her out. Because here's the thing. If your whole shtick as a woman is you want a man to cater, take care, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm. Say that up front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Say that up front, what you want, and give him the power of choice. Mm-hmm. You know, prostitutes tell you up front the price. Hey,
Jesus, why would you?
Just saying. Look, I didn't call her that. I'm just saying an example. Like, if you want
we know you
someone that's
like going to
buy you stuff, someone's going to buy you stuff, well, then tell them the price up front. But I mean, but don't be fake and shady about it. I remember when at UTSA, I was dating a girl, and we'd only been dating like a couple weeks. Wasn't even thing serious. Oh, okay. No. And she said, you know, I said, how you been? You know, I just have a rough day today. Really, what's going on? Well, I'm like $50 short of my rent, and I don't know who I can ask to get that from. I was like, yeah, I don't know either. Good luck. because I know what you're trying to do. But I think the way that, and I think there's a difference of marriages or what people expect in a marriage. Like, I would want a partnership. Yeah. If I make more money, hey, great. Or you make more money, great. But it's a partnership. Right. But if I dated someone who made more, I'm not going to say I expect you to buy me a house and a car and all that type of stuff the way she did it. And so if that's her expectation, even though it's married at first sight, she didn't have a chance to.
Yeah.
That's your expectation. Just say, hey, Shaq, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. If we're married, here's what I expect from you emotionally, financially, and all the other stuff in between. And then he can make his decision on decision day, which I think I know what his decision is going to be.
And I mean, I let you get past the forehead kiss. So, I mean, why not? You know, Chocolate Sooner says, she said on the after party that she didn't understand why he was confused. Like, huh? You know, exactly. What do you mean you don't know why he was confused? You know, and part of it was she tried to say that this is what her dad did. Well, my dad was a provider, and that's what he did for my family. And this is what we expect when they went to go see the house that she grew up in. And, you know, she went through all the stuff of what her dad did. And her, how did you feel about Shaq saying, well, I need to meet your dad so I understand the expectations? Is that, I mean, now, is that realistic in effect? I need to understand what your expectations are based on what your dad did for you, or I need to understand the expectations as a man to do for you?
I think it was both. If she holds her dad in this high regard, Shaq wants to meet him. But let's look at what we know about Kirsten. She showed us an apartment we know she doesn't live in. She doesn't let Shaq meet any of her family. You know, she could be in the witness protection program. We have no idea.
Yeah, because she's staged an apartment. We know that.
Yeah, staged an apartment. You can't meet my dad. All these different things. It's just a lot of red flags for me.
Yeah. You know, Kirsten, Marcy says, Kirsten is a manipulator and a gaslighter. Girl, you sell real estate. Get it yourself. Partner with your man. Exactly. And here's something that Dina's pointing out, right? Kirsten's father left when she was 8, but she remembers him doing everything. Bullshit.
Well, here's what I think. What does she consider everything? Because she didn't see him write the check for the mortgage and all that stuff. And the house, the room
Mama
that they were living in.
Saying that. You're right.
The room they were living in was nowhere near one of the houses that she's wishing Shaq would buy her. And how much were houses back then in the, mid-'80s? You know, late-'80s? It's a totally different world.
But for her, probably 90s.
Yeah, but it's a totally different world. So, and for her being a realtor, and I question that because I grew up, my mom's been a broker. I've been around realtors. There are realtors who hustle and do real estate. And then there are people who are realtors by license, but they sell 4 or 5 houses a year.
Right.
And that's it. And if she does live in that apartment, she's not a great salesperson. She's not closing a lot of deals.
You are shady as hell. I'm not going to lie, especially when it comes to Kirsten, because you're triggered. Show us where the woman with a bad weave did you wrong, but, you know, whatever.
She didn't do me wrong.
Brandy said, Kirsten. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Don't bring that up.
I'm not.
Kirsten's trying to make sure she gets out of that Airbnb after the process is over. You know, it makes sense now, actually. It was an alpha, too. Okay. I'm sorry. Inside joke. Let's get past that. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Say.
So, are we going to talk about the black couple's game night?
You mean double date with the blacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, before we get to Shaq and Kirsten sitting down individually, let's talk about the double date with the blacks, or as you call it, black people game night.
Yeah, black people game night. Black couple's game night.
Like, it looked like fun.
It did. I mean, great. I think you got to have a little bit of that silliness. It's always good to get in touch with your inner kid. So I'm glad they had fun. I was more curious about what the separate conversations were going to be between Eris and Kirsten, because now Eris got to get a chance to look at that donk that he's been wanting forever.
Yeah.
And then Shaq and Jasmine, because they were trying to allude like there was going to be some type of thing with them. But I thought Shaq and Jasmine had the best conversation with each other because they both called each other out. And helped hold each other accountable. When Jasmine was saying that, you know, she feels like it's better, but Shaq is like, hey, look, you need to decide what you want and be true to that and encourage her, you're a beautiful person. And then she also told him when he was saying, no, it didn't really bother me. Did it bother you?
Yeah.
Did it bother you? I was like, where's that, Jasmine, when you're talking to Eris?
Well, see, I think here's the thing about it. it was a real conversation. She felt like she's actually talking to an adult, and she did. And, you know, because she asked that question, and he kind of tried to dance around it, and she's like, no. Talk to me. This is me. Talk to me. Because I can tell. It bothers you. And so he finally admitted it. But, you know, he also gave her, it was a great moment. I know they tried to tease it last week, like he was hitting on her, because they know that people are saying, like, you know, oh, they would have been a better couple. And so they kind of tried to play on that in last week's preview for this week. But Shaq actually gave her the positive affirmation that Jasmine has been, you know, wanting, needing from Eris and not getting. I mean, he's like, you're a beautiful woman inside and out, you know, and telling her that. You watch how that smile that she gave was so genuine. It was like, oh my God, thank you. At least you see me. And it was good to see that. What you think of the conversation with Eris and Kirsten? Because, you know, Eris sitting there like he's drooling out the side of his mouth.
Hey, girl, how you doing?
Hey, girl.
Not much, because it's like watching two people. I'm not even going to go there, because that's going to be rude. I didn't get much out of it. You know, Kirsten said things are going well. And that's all. And then Eris is just listening. It's just hard to listen to him talk in general. Mm-hmm. But there really wasn't much between them two. I thought the real conversation happened with Shaq and Jasmine. I'm like, we didn't even need to hear Eris and Kirsten talking.
But they had to show them. They had to show them.
Yeah. All right, we're done.
Look, Dallas Boss says Jasmine felt more comfortable talking to Shaq because his face moves and Eris's doesn't. You know, one of the things that you see here from High Vibe says Shaq and Jasmine both felt validated in their conversation. It was intelligent and affirming.
Yeah. Yeah. I highly agree with that.
Now, Kara says this, and, you know, I did notice that he gave this. She said, I don't think the disclaimer he gave before complimenting her and talking about Shaq and Jasmine, the compliment that Shaq, the disclaimer he gave to Jasmine before giving her the compliment and telling her she's beautiful inside and out, she says that made it sus. And I kind of agree, like, because why did he feel the need to say that, give that disclaimer before saying something to her? It's because he knew, like, all right, Eris ain't doing nothing for you. I don't want you to start jumping on me, because I'm still trying to get over here on Kirsten.
You know, I don't know. I think it's bro code, right? If I'm out with one of my boys and his wife and we're just talking, I'm going to be like, hey, I don't mean disrespect, but I think you're a very beautiful person. I like your outfit today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw that, I don't mean disrespect or anything, because I don't want them to think I'm trying to holler. And so maybe that's what he
that
was doing.
Would that be disrespect, or I don't mean, you know?
Do what now?
He said, yeah, I don't mean any disrespect, but would that be disrespectful to tell somebody you look good today?
Well, because you don't want to seem like you're flirting with your homeboy's wife, you know, right in front of them or right around them, you know? And so, you know, you're just kind of weird. I'm thinking that maybe that's why he prefaced it with that, just to kind of put it all up there. Hey, I'm not trying to holler at you, but I think you're beautiful on the inside and out.
Yeah. You know, Naomi says the disclaimer for the cameras. I'm not mad at it.
Where's camera three? Camera three? I'm not trying to holler at you.
as Tony says, give him a disclaimer as if Kirsten really likes him for real, and as if Airhead Eris gives a damn. You know? Yeah. And maybe, you know, that is a great point that Tony's making, not just because of Eris, but actually for Kirsten, because when Kirsten sees this, because let's be honest, Shaq still likes Kirsten. He's still attracted to her, right? Does did he do that just to make sure that Jasmine didn't say, oh girl, he said I'm beautiful inside and out, just to make sure she doesn't go back and spin it, just in case? Is that part of it?
If you don't want it, I know someone who does.
That could be. That could be. So we'll see. But you know, they get back to the house, and you have given Kirsten a very hard time this entire season.
She's helped. And,
well, you know, obviously something about her triggers you. Mm-hmm. You have met her, dated her, or known her, known people she's dated in the past. That
all of the above. All the above.
Apparently, because it's quite obvious in the way you have gone after it did, on this podcast and in our own private text.
Yeah. All the above is true.
And I defended her a lot until she started sitting down eating that salad and talking with her mouth full. Woman, that's as bad as leaving your shoes on, letting the dog get in the goddamn bed, all that stuff. Yes, I'm with you now. Kirsten, stop it. I was with Shaq, too. Where Shaq was like, can you stop chewing first? Can you chew your food first and then talk?
Yeah, then I'm cutting my mouth. And I just still see just salad stuff just popping out. I'm like, just finish, swallow, ladies, and then speak.
This does not stop it, okay? Mm-mm. This does not stop it. Don't do
Mm-mm.
it.
Mm-mm. I'm not going to deal with you today because, you know, no, stop talking. Eat your food, and then let's have a serious conversation because you want to be serious. I'm just joking. But when Shaq jokes,
yes,
it's a problem. It's a problem when Shaq does it. But while she's sitting there chewing like a cow and trying to talk, that's okay? No.
Lucy B says she smacks her food. Cringe. Yeah, that is one of my pet peeves. I've said that over and over again. If I can tell you're chewing and I'm not looking at you, there's a problem, right? There is definitely a problem. And you know, Shaq tells... Sophia says Shaq tells her to close her mouth all the time. I will say this. I like the fact that Shaq said to her, right? Like, look, he kind of pointed out what his family said. Because remember when they met with his family was like, he's the alpha. He was the alpha of the kids, even though he was the baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment is when he decided to man up and be the alpha in that relationship, right? And by alpha, Charles, I'm not talking about fraternity, okay? Just let me just get that out of the way, because Charles always got something smart to say in the comments, in the live chat. just calm it down. You're acting like a Q. Stop it. But Shaq, I like how Shaq stood his ground when she's like, I don't want to have this conversation. And he's like, no. I want to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And by the way, all this, as he starts having the conversation, he's like, well, I was just playing. No. You told me when we're on this honeymoon and I'm just making a joke. No, you want to be serious. I joke too much. How are you making jokes now about something serious? Because this ain't no play. And that's that bullshit, because she wasn't joking. When she said, I want you to buy the house, that's what she meant. She mm-hmm. meant that. And the minute he pushed back, she's like, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and I bet she'd want to be the buyer on the realtor contract, mm-hmm. and she'd keep the commission and not even chip in, not even help with the down payment. That's his. He's supposed to provide all this stuff. Just sitting there, just eating salad, talking shit to Shaq, just annoys me.
Like Kendra said, this is Kirsten. Shaq, you play too much. Buy me a house in 3 months. I'm just kidding. You know, here's the funny thing. At this point, she's talking about buy me a house, buy me a car. I know people who buy, I know couples who buy, where the husband buys the wife a house, buys her a car. You know, they can be push gifts, as somebody mentioned earlier in the chat as well. He did say that about, she said that about the push gifts. Push gift? You ain't letting that man push up on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He barely got a kiss because he put wall paint on you.
Yeah. He should have told her, you know people that buy houses for the couples? I know realtors that actually have nightstands and furniture. Do you know any of those? Apparently you don't.
And this is the point. We haven't made this point yet. When he asked her initially, she says, I'll be on the deed. I'm not going to finish the rest of that sentence. I'll let y'all read it. But yes, exactly. Because, you know, you're going to be on the deed. The fact that she's asking, again, I told you, this is the thing that irks me. And it always irked me. In the club, it irked me then. And in this, if I'm Shaq, I'm irked too. What do you mean asking that question? Am I going to buy you the house? No, not are we going to buy a house. And that's the problem. That's a big problem.
Okay. I'd buy you the house, but I'm not going to put your name on it. And we're going to have a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you like that?
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. From the other side, Christine says, wait, what's wrong with Shaq buying the house? What's the issue? He don't got it like that? That's the issue.
No. That's not the issue, is that he don't have it like that. I don't know how much money he has, but let's just say he's rich. His point was she's not offering to contribute anything to the house. And if you look at the bulk of their arguments in a relationship, mm-hmm. who's the one that's always busy and doing stuff? Mm-hmm. Shaq. He has a lot going on at home, mm-hmm. school, his personal life, family. What's Kirsten got going on? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Besides eating. Nothing. Mm-hmm. She's not working hard to buy shit for her apartment. Mm-hmm. So she's coming in with nothing.
Right.
If she has something, she's hiding it. And that's even more shady. Mm-hmm. So that's I think that's the guy's issue with a person like a Kirsten coming at Shaq like that. Well, what are you bringing to the table?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Exactly. And again, you and High Vibe, y'all on the level today, because she's like, yeah, the issue.
Look at that. We back. We back, High Vibe.
She demanded the house. And like JG says, you know, they should buy the house together, right? And Dina, it's the entitlement for Kirsten. Exactly. Exactly mm-hmm. what it is. And of course, Mona says, you know what? You go low, we're going to go even lower. Just like Kirsten's credit scores, because they must be low.
I think she must have good credit because she's not buying shit. Look at her apartment. Nothing's in it. So what does she spend money on? Salads?
Right. Cluster says, it's the way she said it. You need to buy me a house and car. That's that ties to everything. The entitlement of you need to buy me this, right? And, you know, Tracy B says, like, she thought she could run over Shaq. But Dallas Boss is another thing. Cluster's probably sitting on racks. Is she?
She must be, because she's not buying anything. She doesn't have anything in her apartment. So what is she spending it on?
Hey, JD says, even as a woman, when Kirsten said that about buying her a house, and hers in all caps, I said, beep, please. I will say this. I'm glad to see the women standing up in this sense for Shaq in this space, right? That's funny.
Kira said, no, she's property manager of the apartment. That's how she got it.
That's funny. That's actually pretty damn funny.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, you know, from the previews last week, they made it seem like Shaq was going to get some this week, and apparently he didn't. So, you know.
Well, I thought they did, but then I got the dinner or something. There's a preview when they have this dinner that he's going to say, well, we consummated mm-hmm. the relationship.
Yeah, so apparently that's coming up this for the rest of the season. So there's still like 42 episodes left this season, so we'll find it at some point. You know, just going back to some of these other comments from earlier today.
I bet he had to do all the work if they did consummate the relationship.
I know, right? You know he did.
She's not going to contribute.
She's like, well, I was here.
Yeah, it is. Come on now.
I gave you the garage. Park the car. Let's go.
You'll get on top? I just had a salad. I'm full.
Yo, High Vibe said Shaq manned up this episode a little bit. Actually, correct. I agree with that. You know, one of the things Melissa said about Kirsten is that she knows how to stage her houses. She's in real estate, so why does her apartment look poorly decorated? Now, going back to something you had said earlier about the age, right? And, you know, when you have to fill out these applications, now you have to scroll. Debbie G says that scrolling hurts my feelings every time.
Yeah, it gets real when you look at that. It just, when you look at other people's stuff and you see it, like applications or background checks, and you're like, 1996 is when you were born? God dang it.
How old are you again?
I was in them streets.
And then you 96. Realize it's 23. It's 2023 now, right?
Now, one thing I think all of us older folks can say is we look good for our age, because there's some people who are born in 1990
Stop
that
it.
Look like they were born in 1965. I mean, some people lived hard.
Stop it. You're talking about moving around earlier because, you know, Eris is talking about him moving, and that's why he is the way he is. Precious Me says, you know, I moved every 2 years as a military brat, and I'm not a jerk. I'm shy, but not a jerk. Every 2 years? In Special Forces? Yeah. Dina says, Gina's doing it all wrong. She should be wearing Salam merch. That's a great point, because we've seen that happen on certain, and they usually block out a lot of people's stuff until it's their own stuff. So sometimes you do see that. sometimes. Now, you do see this one here, which says Drunk Tale is my fave, so... And a couple people have said they would pay for the Patreon if you wanted the Patreon on doing these past episodes. Karen said I'd pay for the Patreon. Monty N said I would pay to see your Patreon. You know, hey, if we get enough people say they'll do the Patreon, then who knows? We can probably get Terrell to go back and do start from season one, and we can roll through.
You're leaning a little hard on that, probably.
Yeah, I am. Okay, hold on. Probably. But look, if you made it this far, man, seriously, shout out to everybody who's joined the live stream. If you made it this far, please do us a favor. Click the like button. And if you're watching this after the live stream, you know, do us a favor. Join the conversation in the comment section. And if you're listening to the audio and you want to contribute and say something, make sure you come to the YouTube. Just find us. We're RGRT Pod. And make sure you also hit us up in the comment section. And let us know what you think about the episode as well, too, okay?
Yeah, I love reading the comments, especially we read all of these after we get done. And then over the next few days, people that come and just watch the video. Mm-hmm. I love seeing that. So keep telling us what you think. And if you think I'm wrong on Kirsten, love to hear about it.
If you want to guess as to why Terrell is so triggered by Kirsten, please, you know, let that be known, too.
Not triggered. I just.
No, you're definitely triggered. Hey, Sharonis, by the way, did say that Terrell might actually enjoy the earlier seasons more. They were definitely better. Yeah, I think so, too. I think Terrell watches season 1, 2, and 3. He's like, damn, how can we not get back? How can we get back to this? And I really want him to do it. That's why I'm like, I'm pushing for this, too. So, guys, let us know in the comment section. I know we're in the live chat, but, you know, on the comment section, let us know. If you're down for the Patreon, let us know. And if we get enough people, we'll go ahead and say yes. We'll go ahead and do it. And I'll talk Terrell into it. Terrell, would you do it?
You're so confident.
I am.
You're so confident. I'm not going to say something here on the live and somebody record this. Now they got footage of me agreeing to doing something that I probably won't agree to.
High vibe. Look, your favorite person, High Vibes, is the black couple on season one was wild. Yes, they were.
Don't use my friends. Don't use my friends against me.
Not against you, just to encourage you. Hey, don't forget, we are back Friday, ready to love a recap. That's going to be at 9:15, 8:15 Central. Monday, season 4, episodes 6, 7, and 8 of Love is Blind. If you haven't checked out our recap of seasons 1 through 5, please check it out. That one's actually going pretty good right now. Interesting way to learn about these mean girls, the indecisive people on the show, and even the fact that I think as we get to season 6, as episodes 6, 7, and 8, we'll see this. There might be some crack in the mean girl armor. Right. As we look at that. But also we get to see that there's decided to come back. They saw it good enough in season 3 to bring it back in season 4. If you haven't seen our recap from this past Monday, this is another African back who wants another white woman. Something about reality TV dating shows and African men and white women.
Yeah, yeah. And then for Christine, yes, we saw the first 5 and we did a recap on Monday. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can see the recap that we did.
She's
for the first
on the
5
YouTube
episodes
channel right now.
Well, I'm drinking. Sorry. I was trying to help.
Yes, it's up right now. Go check it out. And of course, next Monday, we'll get to episodes 6, 7, and 8. So we can watch 1 through 5 right now. And we've got 4 installments of season 4. So that'll be this. We did 1 of 4 already. We've got 2 of 4 coming next Monday. We'll actually be live 8, 7 Central next Monday. So you guys can join in the conversation as well. So make sure this weekend you spend the time, you watch those 3 episodes and be ready. We want you to be ready in class to discuss it Monday night. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on our regular show.
Yeah, the look on your face just now, I was like, did he
freeze? I was like...
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ah, oh, you crazy, man.